Hello, welcome to Extra Sequential episode 48.
Correct.
And my name's Martin.
And my name is Chris. We are coming at you from Perth in Western Australia, the capital of the state that is the Western Quadrant in Australia.
Yes. Of course, we don't have like a... Well, I guess we do have a... You don't have an Eastern Australia. Do you know what I mean?
We do, but we don't really call it that, though.
Yeah. They get more states there. West gets all this space to ourselves.
Woohoo!
Yeah. This week, we won't be talking about geography and such. We'll be talking about our selections from the new previews catalogue for this month. And people who don't know with comics, you can order them well in advance for the store. So, take our suggestions. Take them to your local comic store and go, hey, this looks awesome. You guys should order this for your store. Right?
Correct. Yes, we know what we're talking about. There's a lot of things we don't know. Geography included.
Right.
But when it comes to comics, you'll be hard-pressed to find two more people in this room that know more than us.
In the room, in your mind, if you're listening on headphones. Yeah, there's some unusual books coming out in September? No.
Correct.
Yes. But that'll follow on from the news.
Ta-da!
Sorry, I'm tired, Chris.
Why are you tired? What have you been doing?
Video games would be the culprit. I've been playing Deadlock.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't normally care for
zombies.
Zombie games, zombie movies, zombie anything. But the idea of a Home Alone meets zombie thing where you're frantically trying to board up the windows in the house while they're ripping off the boards you put on the other side, making traps, and working with friends in the room, like a co-op thing.
Yes. Mm. So which, because there's three characters in there. There's a kid who looks like he's in a scout uniform,
yep.
Kind of like that little kid from Up,
yep.
Pixar film. And then there's like a guy that looks like Mario / village people type
yeah,
character.
Yeah, there's the builder type, and then there's the female, I think she's the traffic cop.
Does she have a comb or something in her afro?
She might do. They are kind of the stereotypical.
Yeah.
But they all have different kind of advantages. One's better at building, one's better at shooting, one's better at distracting and making some mayhem. It's a pretty awesome game. Think like Team Fortress, but with zombies.
Nice.
Yeah.
It does look fun from what I've seen online, I must say.
And that's why I'm exhausted for today's podcast.
That's quite all right. I'll slap you on occasion to wake you up.
Thanks, sweetie.
Right. Are we talking about the news?
Yeah, let's do that thing.
Okay. Marvel has now got officially 2 million fans on Facebook.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about the subject, we don't have quite as many fans on Facebook, but it's only a matter of time.
Yes.
Young administrator Mladen Lukitin has put his expertise, and we have shut down and disbanded the group that
yes.
we set up on Facebook a while ago, and now we've become a page. So... I can't remember why we did that, but I'm sure there was a good reason.
There are very good reasons, which I won't get into now, but suffice it to say, if you're not a fan of us on Facebook already, head on to the facebook.com website. That's a social environment website. I'm not really sure what it is, but head over there, click like. You don't have to join a group this time. That's the advantage. And yell at us, tell us why we're wrong about our selections for this month's previews, and give us some suggestions for future shows.
Yeah, and you'll get updates from us about whatever pop culture shenanigans enter through our mind. And we should also, while we're talking about online stuff, the Extra Sequential website has slightly been reformatted and re-streamlined as well. We're just running a whole much smoother operation. The whole Extra Sequential operation is as smooth as Mladen's legs. I've seen them, folks.
Why do you have to...
Let's talk about comic book movies.
Fine.
Dark Horizons, which is an Australian website. It's mainly focused on sci-fi, fantasy, that kind of stuff, films. He's put together... Garth Franklin, he's the guy that started the site a few years ago. He put together a list of the best and worst comic book movies. It's a total list of 124 films. Some are left off for various reasons. But if you go to Dark Horizons, you'll be able to see it. The best five, because I know you want to know Mladen.
And
these are gained from basically aggregate reviews from other sites. So we've got The Dark Knight, Persepolis, American Splendor, Ghost World, and Superman the Movie, which I think should be number one. That's the top five. The worst five, Marmaduke, starring the voice of Owen Wilson, I believe.
Yep.
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, Catwoman, Halle Berry, Steel, Shaquille O'Neal, and Son of the Mask, starring no one related to Jim Carrey.
That's not a bad little list. I was happy to see American Splendor and Ghost World get on there because I'd frankly agree with those two. I quite like the Ninja Turtles, the first one.
Yeah, they're all in there, in the middle area.
It's a pretty good film. Yeah. But yeah, that's not bad. I expected just to see Dark Knight, Iron Man 2, Rise of the Silver something. Yeah, you know, the typical.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting list, and I mean... it makes you realise how many non-superhero films based on comics there are. Yeah. And people tend to forget that. They're like films like, yeah, Persepolis or Road to Perdition or actually based on comics. Barbed Wire, starring Pamela Anderson.
Was that based on a comic?
Oh, yeah.
Should we be proud or ashamed of this fact?
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about Catwoman.
All right.
The new Batman Year One animated film has just been, the trailer for it, rather, has just been released online. And it stars Eliza Dushku from Dollhouse and Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Catwoman.
Does it ever.
And there's also a 15-minute short film, which I think this might actually be the last that DC are doing the short film as an extra feature, starring her and running through Gotham. So it's basically based on the Frank Miller, Dave Mazzucchelli miniseries from 1986, 87, something like that.
Right.
Which has, and Batman Begins kind of took elements of Batman Year One into the film. So this is, and the art, I don't know if you, I actually got the Green Lantern Emerald Knights Blu-ray. I was watching the extras on that last night, and that's got a making of this Batman Year One.
Oh.
And the art style is very similar to David Mazzucchelli, that pulp noir.
Yeah.
The colour palette's pretty similar. It looks pretty awesome. So that's on sale October 18, which is the same date that Batman Arkham City video game comes out. It's a good day to be a Batman fan. And that's the one with Robin as a playable character in it in some
capacity.
Markets.
Yeah.
And they've just released the first colour version of him, of his character, and he looks pretty...
They gave him a hood, so he looks basically...
They gave him a hood, and they gave him a character description.
How can we make him look more like Assassin's Creed?
True. And he's now a cage fighter on occasion to work out the stress in his life.
That seemed like a logical progress for that character.
Yeah, from computer hacker to cage fighter.
Then again, I don't care. I'd rather just beat up some thugs.
But you played the first game, didn't you?
I did. Quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. what else you got news-wise?
I have an interesting piece.
Okay.
Have you heard of a comic called SPK by Warren Ellis and an artist called Disraeli?
Yes, I have. This is the Ultraviolet one?
Yeah, like when I first heard of this,
not the Milo Jovovich movie.
No, it's not based on... but that sold out its initial run of 3,500 and within 48 hours of going on sale. But the odd thing about this comic is... It's £13, costs £13, but it comes with an ultraviolet light. So the speech bubbles of the characters aren't on the page until you shine the light on there. So it's like giving you another dimension into their thoughts. So on your first read through, you might read it without knowing they're in a monologue. And yeah, quite unusual.
What I've seen looks pretty good. The art itself kind of stands out without the ultraviolet gimmickry as well. Like it looks pretty cool.
Mm.
So I'm curious to see how it actually plays into the actual story. So I don't know if I'll be able to get something like that. Hey, I guess they do a second print run, but...
This is all ordered from their website, so that's pretty good that it didn't go. And it's not even in retailers yet. They're winning. Yeah. All right. That's all I had.
Oh, okay. The Harvey nominees have been announced. So Harvey is based on... named after Harvey Kurtzman. He was the first editor of Mad and did some like cartoons for Playboy for a while and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Little Orphan Fanny.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's quite an exhaustive list, but best online, these are the nominees. Best online comics work, Hark a Vagrant, which I know you like.
Yes.
Best American edition of foreign material, Black Sad, which we both liked.
Right.
Best new series, American Vampire, the American Vampire. Cure Shakespeare, Six Gun, Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt from Oni Press, which is going gangbusters. Most promising new talent. Chris Samney, artist on Thor the Mighty Avenger. Scott Snyder from American Vampire. Nick Spencer, who's writing everything these days for Morning Glory. Right. Special award for humour in comics goes to Gutters. Gutters is actually has been nominated. Gutters is an interesting superhero parody. If you don't read superhero comics, you won't get it, but I find it quite funny. Best cover artist, best continuing limited series, best artist, best cartoonist, best single issue or stories. And there's surprisingly very few superhero comics actually in this list. So for independent fans, it's actually quite quite impressive.
I've noticed the Icelanders tend to have slightly more superhero stuff. I don't know what
true. I guess that's...
The selection committee is probably made up of slightly different industry professionals.
Quite possibly. If you want to check it out, you can look at Harvey Awards online. The winners are presented at the Baltimore Comic Con on the 20th of August. So I'm sure we'll say what the winners are once that day comes.
And then we'll argue them, I'm sure.
We don't argue, Maladen.
We
only
educate.
For the purposes of entertainment. So that's pretty much all the news that we have. And we were going to mention Orc Stain.
Orc Stain.
Stain. Orc strain. I'm straining my orcs.
Yeah.
So the James Stigo is the writer-artist of this. The first issue actually came out in December from Image Comics,
mm-hmm.
And it's now been released online for free. We'll put up a link on our website.
Mm.
But it's basically like a wildly rendered,
yes,
Jeff Darrow level of detail,
yeah,
fantasy-type shenanigan comic, and it's it's pretty out there, and it looks pretty cool. So
yeah,
it's good to get free comics.
Chris and his forgetfulness. They said an elephant never forgets. Well, I should have got one as my co-host because Chris forgot to announce this.
I work for peanuts. The running now until the 22nd of July, and this is only for Western Australian fans, at the gallery, which is now a gallery on 34 Main Street in Ellenbrook, which is a bit whoop-whoop out of the way of the city. It's running now, so the gallery is open from 10 till 2 Monday to Friday and 1 to 5 on the weekends. If you're curious, it's basically a select survey of the world's largest comic book collection from 1960 until the present. It's called Heroes and Villains. It's presented by Smarter Than Smoking, so obviously it's a government
so no John Constantine comics.
Possibly not. If you're curious, you can go to ellenbrookarts.com.au or email info@ellenbrookarts.com.au. So, yeah, that's Heroes and Villains. So I'd imagine it's just a selection of comic covers kind of displayed behind frames in a art gallery type setting. And I think this is the second or third year that it's been done, because I seem to recall it's been done before. And I think it might even be a West Australian who owns this collection.
Right.
So, that's at Ellenbrooke. So if you're a fan and want to look at, you know, heaps of decades of comic book history, go there.
Going to do something here which we haven't done in months.
I think we've done it once before last year.
Yeah.
But as Maladin so eloquently described, basically at the start of every month, or actually at the end of the previous month, the previews catalogue comes out and it goes to comic shops worldwide, and it's pretty much hundreds of pages, full colour, of comics, books, magazines, DVDs, games, toys, international toys, sculptures, busts, magazines. Socks,
toys, magazines, toys, socks, magazines, toys.
About toys, toys that transform into magazines. So yeah, this is basically comics, and this is where you would, not only retailers, as in shops, but also customers would place their orders from. So you're looking to get, oh, I want one of these, and then you'll email the shop or you'll write it on a list, and then the retailers will order based on those orders. So 50 people order Spider-Man number one. That's how many they'll order.
Yeah.
So they're not left with lots left over.
And this is an unusual business model,
I would say. It is. And I think it's only something, obviously, in the direct market you wouldn't find this. But I guess because comics are such a niche market these days, that it's not like bookstores or whatever that can order in, you know, hundreds of Stephen King books and guarantee that they can sell most of them.
Yeah. I think everyone owns a Stephen King book. They find their way into your house, like, without you even knowing. I should write a book about that.
As you get here. So we're going to basically go through the most recent previous catalogue, which is the July one, and it has the relaunch of Geoff Johns and Jim Lee's Justice League number one on the one cover. Right. Flip it over, and it's got the Witchblade 150 from Image Comics on the other top
cover. Witchblade is on the cover of previews a lot somehow. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
We should point out Marvel Comics has their own catalogue. They never used to, but they've started doing it the last couple of years.
Does not play well with others.
And it has a Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, which will be a new Spider-Man. We'll talk about that later. And Wolverine Cyclops on the flip side.
Is this straight after they were saying, we don't go for gimmicks here at Marvel. We don't not going to relaunch everything at number one. Oh, Spider-Man's dead and Hulk's dead.
Ultimate Comics doesn't count. Okay, so I'm just moving. Keep talking.
Well,
do not be alarmed.
All right, first item here that I'm excited about is from Dark Horse, and Marlo Manara is one of those artists, European comic book artists, who might not be well known in the West, mostly because most of his work hasn't been translated. And Dark Horse have finally got their act together, and they're taking the bullet, and they're publishing the first volume of what I hope are many of the Manara Library volume. One. Now, this is coming out November 9th, sort of hefty price tag item because it's a big hardcover. It'll be collecting Indian Summer, which is a work he did with Italian writer Hugo Pratt.
Okay.
As well as another work, The Paper Man. and they've both been expertly translated. There's a foreword by Frank Miller, but don't let that stop you. Should be an excellent work. I'm really excited about this.
He does very sexy, sexy girls, and I have read, because he did a X-Men book years ago that was recently released by Marvel after years of being in the kind of Wonderland.
Yes.
And that was basically Rogue and Storm and all these scantily clad ex-girls running around in bikinis on a cruise liner. So it's sure. Very European, but he's got a great style.
Yeah, and fans of, say, Mobius and the ones you've heard of, you would definitely like Manara. And, yeah, that's my first recommendation of the day.
Awesome. So we know DC relaunching a whole bunch of series, as we've mentioned before, so we won't really go through those. I mean, the obvious ones, I'll get Action Comics 1, you know, Batman 1.
Yeah.
But there's some interesting characters that haven't got their day in the sun as yet. But
maybe fans of last week might want to check out Swamp Thing. And
Yeah.
But we're not going to waste our time on such
kerfuffle. No, thankfully DC have still got the Vertigo imprint around.
For now.
Yeah.
There's an interesting new hardcover here called A Flight of Angels, and that's being written by Bill Willingham, amongst many others. Holly Black, who I believe is a fantasy writer anyway. And, oh, sorry, Rebecca Guay?
Guay, yes.
Guay. She's the fantasy artist.
Quite an acclaimed one, I believe.
Yeah. So that's hardcover collecting short stories, I think, based around her original ideas. So that should be quite entertaining.
Yeah, and I think Bill Willingham does Fables, doesn't he? He's the writer of Fables.
Does he ever? Oh, yeah. The other piece I've marked here, IDW, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned it so far, but there's been a relaunch again of the Turtles. Oh, we probably mentioned that, but you can now get in from the beginning, and that's probably the best time to kind of jump in, get your feet into the turtle water, turtle soup, as it were. Chris, what are you doing?
I'm trying to find what I've bookmarked.
You fool.
It's hard to flick through these pages. As I mentioned, Justice League number one, which is by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee. Jim Lee is a great artist, but notoriously late. But I'll still pick up this first one. Justice League International also looks interesting.
Can I try and guess who these characters are?
Sure.
Okay. There's like a green phoenix.
Yep, that is Fire.
What looks like a ripoff of The Thing?
Grant Morrison's one of the Chinese superheroes from his The Great Ten, I believe it was called.
Okay. A dude who looks a little bit like the Rocketeer.
Rocket Red. He's a Russian superhero, like an Iron Man version.
Okay. The token black character?
Yep. That's her name's Token. No, it's not. That's Vixen. She's like got the powers of animals.
This one I know because we did a whole episode on it.
Guy Gardner, Green Lantern. Yep. Ice, who's Guy Gardner's...
She's an amputee, is she?
No.
Cut half of her off the cover.
And time-traveling Booster Gold. And interesting, but Bleeding Cool noticed, as other people did, there was an empty space. Originally, there was another female character there that they took off the cover for some reason.
And Batman.
Batman, which looks like the Bruce Wayne version, I think.
How can you tell?
He's got a slightly different costume. Ghostbusters number one is coming out, also from IDW. It's interesting because all of Ghostbusters comics, they don't have the likeness rights. So they never actually look like the characters. But if you're such a fan of Ghostbusters, you might be able to ask your retailer how you can become your very own. You just send a photo of yourself and they'll draw you as a Ghostbuster.
Fair enough.
Or you could just go to a comic convention with a vacuum cleaner on your back and some overalls.
And ask to be drawn, yeah. Another piece here from IDW, they're reprinting Flash Gordon.
Yeah, this looks interesting.
Yeah, so... comic by
Alex Raymond.
So I was going to say Al Williamson, but he did a later
Prince
run
Fallon?
On.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He did a later run on Flash Gordon. But this is the original comics being collected in a beautiful new hardcover, Volume 1. Again, a hefty price tag on these, but comic book historical purists who dig the old style, I think would definitely get a kick out of that. This next recommendation is from a fan of the show, from Alterna Comics. Now, I'll just read out her quote here. Nova, Volume 3 by Michael S. Bracco. It reminds you of art done by Sam Keith, but simpler. It's about an abandoned little alien in a cold world full of adversities. On back of book 1, two warring species, one male, one female, together in love and desperation, they created Nova, a savior born to a world that no longer has use for one. He will try to discover a history he will never be part of. Can the mystery of his past give him the clues to his future? I own both volumes. Read the first one ages ago. I highly recommend this. Thank you, Jenny, fan of Extra Sequential.
Awesome, thank you.
If you want to recommend us something, Facebook. Do it.
So, yes, this is Novo Volume 3, Survivors by Michael S. Bracco, Alterna Comics. It's actually on page 220, able to be ordered now. I thought this is something that we kind of both like. Steve Niles is the guy that created 30 Days of Night.
Right.
And he's actually 30 Days of Night is now an ongoing series IDW have just announced, which is pretty cool. It's actually a good series. And Bernie Wrightson, so this is the Monstrous Collection. IDW seem to, as you mentioned with their Flash Gordon, seem to do kind of premiere hardcover collections of things. Mm. So again, this is a bit pricey, $50, but it's 176 pages. It is black and white, but basically collects the three books that they've all done, which is Dead, She Said, The Ghoul, and Doc Macabre. Each a piece
Macabre.
Each piece of the dark, dangerous universe Niles has created in the shadows of the world we think we know. So this is the first time that these three, and Bernie Wrightson is, of course, he did some Swamp Thing stuff, didn't he?
Of course. We talked
about him last week.
Yes, we did. And also one of my favourite hardcovers, he did an illustrated version of Frankenstein. And that's well worth picking
yes,
up.
Yes, I've seen that on your bookshelf, actually.
Very beautiful book and well worth one's time. Another piece here is one we mentioned in Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
Archaea Entertainment previewed this back then, and I'm excited to see it listed now. Jim Henson's A Tale of Sand, with art by Ramon Perez.
So it's basically, Jerry Jewell, I believe, created it from Jim Henson's note. Jim Henson's The Muppet Show and a whole bunch of other stuff, Dark Crystal and all that.
And it's telling the story of a young man who wakes up in a strange town and then he's pursued across the desert by various crazy Jim Henson-esque shenanigans. I'm imagining some wild desert hallucinogenic imagery. Fraggle Rock meets something terrifying. But apparently it was one of his more kind of adult-y kind of concepts.
Yeah, in September, I actually have a bunch of goodies coming out. Jim Henson's The Storyteller Volume 1, which is also like an anthology, also comes out. Mr. Murder is Dead, which is another OGN, kind of a noirish pulpy kind of tale. Rust Volume 1, which actually looks quite interesting. And there's also an illustrated novel, a prose novel written by Andrew E.C. Gasker, who I interviewed for Broken Tea a while ago, called Conspiracy of the Planet of the Apes, which is set in the original Planet of the Apes film universe. Now the new Planet of the Apes film is coming out soon, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, starring James Franco.
From Pineapple Express, correct.
Oh, wow, just flowed right into it.
There's actually a whole bunch of good stuff coming from IKEA in September. So if you see the double page spread, you'll be able to see the goodies that they have on offer. Now we come to Maladin's favourite publisher.
I shouldn't laugh before even reading it out, but I've tagged Blue Water Productions here, and you can usually rely on them to publish some terrible, terrible crap, some loathsome garbage. This month's loathsome garbage includes such titles as Infamous Lindsay Lohan, and the cover shows her giving what looks like the peace sign, or maybe she's making like vulvas with her fingers, I don't know, and like she's in a prison uniform holding up like numbers.
I think that's
six,
a gangster. It's good that she still has her hair and makeup artist with her in prison.
Yeah, that sort of thing's important.
There's also an OGN on, it can't really beat a GN if it's 32 pages, but on Black Eyed Peas and Justin Bieber, part two. He's only 17 or something.
And he looks like Danny from Saturday Night Fever. I don't know what that is in Adolf.
Night Fever.
See, I'm flicking back.
So if you like biography comics, then Blue Water Productions is the place
for
you.
One to avoid.
Well, no other publishers doing biography comics. Boom Studios have been doing a few $1 issues and whatnot as of late. And this is their first one called, the latest one called The Rinse. And it looks kind of interesting. It's basically what it says here for fans of Brubaker and Phillips Criminal. So this is a new ongoing series, kind of centered on kind of the crime, and it looks a bit more realistic. So Gary Phillips, who's, I think, he's done some other work for Broom as well. This is basically, well, here it says it focuses on Jeff Sinclair, the premier laundryman in San Francisco, and we're not talking wrinkled jeans and dirty gym socks. So it's basically focusing on him and the ties, you know, the web of intrigue, all that kind of stuff. The art looks okay. It looks kind of like that loose brushstrokey kind of style, almost like a David Mazzucchelli from Batman Year One, I guess.
Yeah, reminds me a bit of Brubaker did a run on Daredevil, which had art like this, and Gotham Central.
Oh yes,
had a similar look to this, just to give you a feeling.
So that's who's it by, Maladin? Gary Phillips and Mark Lamming. That's the artist.
Yeah,
I was going to mention this actually, the Game of Thrones comic. You're not a fan of the TV series, I know.
I am not, and I don't care if that's a controversial opinion. I don't think the show is very good.
Okay.
And I'm happy to get into why if someone disagrees, but you're wrong.
And I'll tell you why.
I can tell you why now. The first season is, think of any fantasy movie, right? You know the first 5 minutes of the film where they're setting up the world and then, like, maybe the main character's dad might die?
Yes.
That is the first 12 hours of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So, if you like long stretches of not a lot happening, but then them pretending a lot's happening, and fans telling you, oh, wait until season 2, episode 12, then the poo will hit the fan.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear. Peach, no, you can say shit on PG-13.
Are we PG-13?
Yeah. And according to X-Men First Class, you can say a lot worse than a PG-13 film.
That is true, which we'll talk about next week.
Will we? Oh, yeah.
Bad taste.
Ah.
But if you are a fan of George R. R. Martin's novels and TV series, A Game of Thrones...
Is it George R. Martin?
He has pirates in his blood. He's been called the American Tolkien by Time magazine. Anyway, so this is out from Dynamite Entertainment. So it's written by George and Daniel Abraham, with art by Tommy Patterson. And its main cover is by Alex Ross. And the Alex Ross cover has a guy with a beard and a sword and some wolves.
I dig the cover, yeah.
And also Kevin Smith, the Bionic Man, number 2, also continues that month, which I like as well. I'm curious. His Green Hornet screenplay adapted into the comic worked well, and this is Kevin Smith's Bionic Man adapted screenplay adapted into comics, so I'm quite curious. I love Bionic Man. Had one of the best faster, stronger introductions ever. another one that I thought we'd both like, and I thought you'd probably tag this if I didn't, The Death Ray by Daniel Clowes. And you'll actually find in Pool, the film, you'll find that Simon Pegg wears a shirt with the Death Ray on it. Now, I think this is a collection. But basically, teen outcast Andy is an orphan nobody with only one friend, the obnoxious but loyal Louie. The roam school halls and city streets invisible to everyone, but bullies and tormentors until the glorious day when Andy takes his first puff on a cigarette. That night he wakes, heart pounding, soaked in sweat, and finds himself suddenly overcome with the peculiar notion that he could do anything. Daniel Clowes, he's done Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, is that something you talked about a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did Ghost World, and we mentioned that earlier in the show. Yeah, I did review Wilson back in last year about this time.
Wow. So this is another work from him, because he's one of those people like Chris Ware that kind of pushes the boundaries of what comics can do. He has quite a big following.
He writes quarterly. People very well. That's his...
quite realistic. And
yeah, he makes them kind of come off the page.
And
this is interesting, because he plays off that idea, if a radioactive spider bites you and you get powers, well, surely other toxic things such as cigarettes will give you mild powers.
Yes. Yeah, it does look interesting. So it's 1995, 48 pages, full colour, and that's coming into you from Drawn a Quarterly in September.
I was just going to quickly mention from Fantagraphics Books, they're putting out a book called Action Mystery Thrills, great comic book covers from 1936 through to 1945.
Yes, this actually looks interesting. Greg Sadowski's done, he's the editor of this tome, and he's done another couple of books, which I think I even own one of, which reprints old, kind of forgotten, crazy comics. We kind of forget how crazy the comics in the 30s and 40s were, like before the Comics Code came along and in the 50s and kind of shut everything down.
Before superheroes strangled every other
genre.
And
before superheroes dominated. There was so much just craziness. So this is actually a collection of... it's full colour, 200-page, and it's basically got covers from, well, Carl Barks, Charles Barrow, Jack Cole, who created Plastic Man, Will Eisner, created the Spirit.
Bill Everett, Walt Kelly, Jack Kirby, and there's some awesome stuff in here, and I can't wait for these kind of books.
There's also a Art of Joe Kubert, which is a full colour coffee table book that talks about, the focus is on Joe Kubert. He's the guy that did Hawkman, Unknown Soldier, Sergeant Rock, a lot of his work, and he's also done work like Facts from Sarajevo and OGNs more recently. So if you like your art books, Fantagraphics is the place to be. GG Studio is I think they're an Italian company. They've only recently been moving into the American market. They've been had a bit of a presence in previews for a while now, and they seem to offer a lot of kind of... on first glance, it almost looks like somebody from the 90s. You've got scantily clad women running around doing their thing, but the few titles that I've read of this, it's actually pretty good. They translate well. A Skeleton Soroy, I've read the first couple issues of that. So they've got titles, like One or
Gore,
Route de Maison Rouge. But their new one is Extinction Seed Number 0 by David Alcardi, Livia Pastore, and Alessia Nocera. That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't bad.
The wonderful 60s, the sound of the Beatles pervades the world. The war in Vietnam fractures public opinion. An extinction seed grows undisturbed. Caroline, a young student. Cynthia, a photographer with an inclination for theft. And Catherine, assistant to one of the government's most important officials, will discover the daunting truth. The countdown to extinction has begun.
Perhaps they'll discover some clothes to wear in this comic.
So it looks like a kind of alien inhabiting Earth kind of sci-fi tale. This is a publisher to keep your eye on, and it's interesting if you want a mix from your standard American superhero tales. Companies like this are always worth a shot.
Yeah.
Even if it's just buying the first issue, which here is only $1.99, so you know that's like half price or whatever automatically. So go for it. Yeah, do it. Extinction Seed number 0.
All right, this one I'm just flicking through now, and I'm surprised I missed it. Eidolon Fine Arts, which is not a publisher I'm familiar with at all, is putting out a new book by Michael Zulli called The Fracture of the Universal Boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Zulli's work at all?
I know his name. But I can't picture him. Is he a fantasy? Did he do Sandman at some stage?
Yeah, later Sandman, towards the end of the run, he did some work on that. He even did some Ninja Turtles. He's done a bit of everything. He has a particular kind of... more pencil-driven style, so it's not inked towards the end. It's coloured over pencils.
Okay.
And it has a very kind of artsy, but it's very beautiful look to his art. Now, this isn't a book I'm familiar with, but it's probably
telling. 280 pages, so it's black and white, and yeah, it's coming at you from Eidolon Fine Arts. It's on page 288 of the previous catalogue, and it's Eidolon, and I think this is a new publisher, so this might very well be their first book. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And very arty.
For me, like, I don't see a lot of Michael Zulli stuff going around, so it was kind of a surprise to see it at all. I'm glad he's working.
Should we talk about Frank Miller?
Is this what this is?
Legendary Comics is a new publisher launching out from Legendary Pictures, who have done a lot of DC films over the years recently.
Yep.
So this is the... We talked about this in our... what episode did we talk about this in our... Projects, the... Whatchamacallit?
Arrogant Projects by Over the Hill Creators.
Egotistical kind of... Yeah. So Frank Miller, we talked about him, Batman Year One, Daredevil, 300 he's done, Dark Knight Returns. So Holy Terror is originally pitched years ago now as a Batman versus Al-Qaeda book, which then DC seemed not too happy about. So Batman is out, and a new character called The Fixer is in, who looks kind of like Batman but without the cape and the... pointed ears, and it's basically him just going around the world finding terrorists. His art looks better than it did, the preview pages I've seen online look better than it did in, say, The Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Oh, yeah. But those weren't coloured yet. They could still be ruined.
That's true.
But, it was interesting to see the preview pages, because there's a character like Catwoman.
Yes,
and she looks just like Catwoman and acts just like Catwoman. So just imagine that this is Batman in a slightly redder outfit.
So, it's basically, it's $30. It's a 116-page book. There's a deadly menace somewhere in Empire City, and the Fixer only has until dawn to save his town and civilization as we know it.
Like, are we being harsh on Frank Miller here, or do you genuinely think he...
I think, I mean, if you like Sin City, I think you'll like this. But I think he has done good work, but occasionally he just goes nutso. Kind of like Neil Adams is doing with Batman Odyssey at the moment. And there was an interesting post on, I think, Comic Book Resources recently just talking about the craziness, which is they've... Neil Adams, like Frank Miller, started as an artist and then became a writer. But Frank Miller is a good writer, like generally.
Yeah.
Out of all the artists that become writers, Frank Miller is actually a good writer, and he's done a lot for the comics as a medium. But he seems to be falling back on a lot of samey ideas.
Yeah, he's definitely got a... I like to think of him not so much as Michael Bay. Who's that guy who does those really trashy?
That's Michael Bay. Yui Boll?
Yeah, Yui Boll.
Does
that's
the video
he
game
me of.
He's adaptations.
Like, he's kind of crazy, insanely patriotic, but he's not apologetic about it. So I don't know whether to admire his huge balls or to despise him as a terrible human being. Maybe both.
Maybe. There's a new Tank Girl coming out. Tank Girl Carioca by Alan Martin and Mick McMahon. So this is actually coming out from Titan Books, which I believe is an English... company.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Tank Girl fan, but this actually looks kind of interesting. That's McMahon and Martin. And apparently we've got word from Brian Bolland and Dave Gibbons, who are really praising their work.
Yeah. Mike McMahon is...
His name doesn't sound familiar, but apparently
he did a
must
book called The Last England. American, and he's also worked heavily in 2000 AD and on Judge Dredd.
Okay.
He's actually worked with Comex lately.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
His work's quite... I'm quite a fan of his stuff, especially his Dredd work. He did this comic where Dredd's fighting this guy whose power is he just screams really loudly.
But like Banshee from the X-Men.
But like that, but like he fills up the page. Like it's a one-page... spread just close up this guy's face, but his face fills the panel and there's space around him. And because he has this kind of blocky drawing style, it's very, very unusual, unlike any comic I've seen. It's very, very funny.
Yep.
So if Banshee was played for laughs, being ridiculous. Yeah. Another comic which is, I guess, wildly different to Mike McMahon's style is Corgi. Now, this is a comic I've sort of been following off and on, but book three, I believe, is just coming out. This is through Top Shelf Publishing.
Yep.
By Christian Slade. And Corgi is kind of like a childlike,
cool,
fanciful, sort of, it's very beautifully illustrated, kind of pencil drawn with like illustrator style inked work, children's book kind of look thing, but more, bit more sophisticated than that. But it's a girl and her pet Corgi dog, and they have these adventures involving like monsters and orcs and various deadly things, witches and things. But yeah, like they blend the fantasy. It's quite a fantasy driven work, and it's wordless. So those of you who want a comic maybe to give to your, especially your young children,
yes,
I think this would be like the best choice, because I really enjoy this comic as well. So it's not just for the wee ones,
it's also for the older ones.
In previews, it isn't just comics. They offer books, art books, those kind of things as well.
Correct.
Now, this is one I forgot to tag, but I saw Chris tagged it, and I was like, yes.
I'm a wise man.
James Jean, Rebus, new hardcover, collecting sort of, I guess, selected works of his monumental impact on comic book covers, as well as his own artwork as well, which I still see selling around in various trendy kind of low art, lowbrow kind of galleries around town. And... he should be a familiar name to even people who aren't into comics. Just, you might recognize his style. Very kind of sinuous.
He's done Fables covers. He's done like Batgirl, Teen Titans,
I love
Green
his
Arrow.
Batgirl covers. Yeah,
yeah. But he hasn't done as much comics works now.
Yeah.
But very, yeah, he's very arty. He's had a couple of, like, it's, yeah, like I said, it's something that not only superhero comic readers will enjoy, but it is the kind of, you could just pick any random work of his and just whack it on a wall. It's
luscious.
Beautiful. Luscious. 256 pages, full colour hardcover, $45.
What's this? Star Wars.
Star Wars have a couple of books, as they usually do. This one is called Star Wars Art Comics, and it's basically a look at all the comics that have been published from Star Wars. Well, mainly from Marvel when they first started in 77, I think just before the first film came out.
Right.
But since about 1991, Dark Horse have been doing Star Wars comics very, very successfully, which we'll be talking about some point in September, probably, in our Star Wars episode.
Mm-hmm.
244 pages, full colour. It is a bit pricey. Well, if you want to go, the Deluxe Limited Edition is very pricey, $400, but the standard is 180 pages of 40. And that's basically just to look at all the various comic covers, sequential art, all that kind of stuff. There's also an interesting Star Wars The Blueprints Deluxe Slipcased Edition, which is other blueprints for the vehicles, space stations and stuff.
Are these the blueprints like that the model makers
stuff
used, or are they kind of like drawn
I think
after the fact?
Yeah, they're drawn after the fact, I
right.
think. So they're kind of like
that Incredible Cross-Sections books they put
kind
out.
Kind of like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But more kind of blueprinty. Yeah,
so,
right. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
For Star Wars hardcore aficionados.
They're milking that cash cow for all it's worth.
And why wouldn't you?
Oh, okay. Now I have to point this out in the toy section. A friend of mine has this. There's a toy called Bacon, which is basically just a about a 2 foot long strip of plush bacon, and when you squeeze it, it goes, "I'm bacon."
Okay. Not Kevin Bacon.
We all made that joke.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Bacon. Yeah. it has googly eyes and a little mouth, and the mouth moves, I think, when it talks.
Awesome.
Now. It might not be the wisest purchase, but I would thoroughly recommend one.
Hey, $20 bucks.
$20
Christmas
bucks.
Present.
And as always, there's lots of good Ghostbusters merch. I've noticed it's really easy now to get good Ghostbusters toys, like a really beautiful-looking Slimer or a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that actually looks like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and not just like the tire guy.
Tire guy? The Michelin Man.
Michelin Man. What is this? Oh, that's terrible.
There's some early
it's a terrible thing.
Some early Walking Dead zombie TV series comic horror stuff, because obviously horror is a big thing for horror is in October. But if there's some good, so there's some Halloween costumes. So if you want to be a female Ninja Turtle,
oh man!
If you want to be a female Ghostbuster or a Thundercats person or someone from Tron, and there's like a Yoda candy bowl holder, a Boba Fett candy, a full size Star Wars Jawa costume, a Princess Leia slave costume with a metal bikini for your significant other.
Why would you want to be a giant Jawa? You just look like a Jedi.
With red eyes and a whole bunch of very disgusting zombie costumes just too disgusting to even explain.
The worst one...
Latex faces and fake tongues and...
The worst one is this baby harness where...
It's a clever idea, but it looks gross and it'll just freak you out.
Yeah, it's like this mask you put over the child's head.
No, it's a fake baby.
That's a terrible thing.
It's a fake baby in a harness, but the head actually, it looks like a normal baby from the back, but the head spins around and it's like a zombie baby head. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I don't know why you would...
Why would you wear that? You just freak people out, surely.
Yeah, it's
nobody's going to give you candy.
Also, you have to wear harness, like the whole party. Oh, I guess
like the guy from The Hangover. There's also a cool Star Wars Tauntaun inflatable costume.
Which makes you look like you have tiny, tiny legs.
Which makes Tauntaun is the tusk white monster that saved Luke's life in the Empire Strikes Back. The smell worse on the inside than they do on the outside. Quite Han Solo.
Is that how he says it?
Not quite like that. And we didn't actually mention the Marvel previews. The only thing really worth mentioning...
Something about Spider-Man or Wolverine, Deadpool.
The ultimate universe is an alternate universe of... the ultimate universe is an alternate universe. That sounds hard. On Marvel Comics, where basically they have different takes on their younger characters. So Spider-Man died recently. The ultimate version of Peter Parker died last month. So now Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1 and 2 both coming out, both ordered to coming out in September. Right. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, penciled by Sarah Pacelli, and he's got a new mainly black costume.
It's like a reverse suit. So,
yeah, and the rumour is that this will actually be a black Spider-Man, an African-American Spider-Man under the costume, just to do something different.
Watch all the racist fanboys lose their freaking minds.
Because Peter Parker is dead. So, I mean, Peter Parker exists still in the main Marvel universe. But this, and there's also Wolverine's son, is because Wolverine is dead as well in the Ultimate.
His son Radish?
Universe. Radish? Who's Radish? What? That was a joke which I didn't understand.
Daikon. Anyway.
Oh, Daikon.
Yeah. Is it Daikon?
Yeah, Japanese. No, this is his Ultimate Universe son. Stay with me.
How many sons does he have?
At least two, but in two separate universes. So this is written by Nick Spencer with pencil by Paco Medina. And it's a new X-Men team. So this is the Ultimate Comics X-Men number 1.
That guy's on fire. I hope he's okay.
Human Torch. Iceman's wearing a baseball cap.
I wonder why. So, okay, how does that work? So Iceman's regular clothes turn to ice when he turns to ice, right?
I think his regular clothes get covered by ice.
Except his hat.
Well, maybe he takes that off while he's changing and then puts it back on.
He does look an awful lot like the Silver Surfer, though.
Yeah, that's true. Less reflective.
It's going nowhere. he's got a baseball cap in this one. And here he's got like a ninja bandana. So is this like a joke that Marvel's doing? Like every issue with Iceman.
What is his headgear this time?
Yes.
He's going to have a scarf. Earmuffs. That's the previous catalogue. You can pick it up at your latest comic shop and place your orders now. If you want to check out all our previous podcasts, you can go on newstreamlinedextrasequential.com, also on iTunes. My blog is comicbookjesus.com, which I have a few reviews of Dark Horse comics and whatnot that I've been reading lately. And you can, as we mentioned before, befriend us on Facebook. Just hit like.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yep, as well as us too. And if you want to email us, it's Chris with a K at extrasequential.com, or just make a comment on the Facebook page.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm like Banshee. Thank you for listening. And if you have anything that piqued your interest in the current previous catalogue,
yeah,
please let us know.
If you are shocked that we bagged out Frank Miller's Holy Terror, then let us know. But you're wrong. Music for the show is at purgeaudit.com. And next week, we've got something a bit special and different for you.
Yay!
Yeah, we mentioned Jenny earlier in the show, a extra sequential fan.
Yep.
She's recommended a topic, which I was like, hey, that's a good idea. She was talking about objectionable content in comics. When do they go too far? Is it possible to go too far? And we're going to be rapping on the topic, but we're being joined by two lovely Eastern States gentlemen, modern gentlemen, if you will.
Yes.
The chief editor and creator for a comic over there called Modern Gentleman, up to its third issue now. We'll be joined by another one of the creators there. We're teeing that up.
Yep.
And suffice it to say, the comic is of a bad taste variety.
Yes.
Of the intentionally shocking type.
Yep.
I've reviewed it quite a while ago.
Yes.
Back in, when I talked about the zines I picked up in Melbs.
Yes, Melbourne. For the non-Australians who don't understand what Melbs is. Yes, it should be an interesting topic. So we're going to talk about, rating issues, how it's changed over the last few years, how comics kind of relate to other medium.
Even censorship and those kind of things that get people riled up as well. It's quite a, I started thinking about the topic, I'm like, there's a lot in here.
It is quite a big one. Yeah. So it should be an interesting discussion. So if you have anything, again, that you'd think is a bad taste comic, like this went too far or this didn't quite work.
And if you have,
on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think yay or nay for censorship in comics, I'd like to, give us some reasons and, we'll probably read out any well thought out opinions on the show, even badly thought out opinions on the show.
Sure.
Maybe read out and mocked.
Well, we don't want to mock people that take the time to write to us.
Stupid fan of the show, Michael.
So this has been the 48th episode of Extra Sequential. Thank you for listening. As always, have a pleasant week, and we will look forward to infecting your eardrums with bad taste comics next week.
What he said. See ya.
Bye-bye.